Well, before we actually talk about the ballet itself, I was just curious about this one item in your own biography, this fellowship in exercise physiology and cardiac rehabilitation.
Yes, that is true.
How does that fit into what you're doing now?
It doesn't.
Not at all.
Well, it does a little bit. I mean, the truth is that I think my training in physiology helps me be a better ballet teacher because I understand the body and how it works.
Yeah, what made you decide to do that?
I was in Chicago. I graduated from ISU. I was in Chicago taking dance classes, and I've sort of just felt like I needed to get another degree, and I really wanted to be a physical therapist. But I volunteered at the Rehab Institute in Chicago at Northwestern University, and I couldn't take it. I mean, it was just too sad for me to see people injured. And most of the people that I worked with there were young men about my age that had been in car accidents, and, you know, they were quadriplegics, and I'm not a strong enough person to do that. So the next, you know, closest thing, you know, working with the body and physical activity and things like that was this program they had at Northeastern, exercise physiology and cardiac rehabilitation. And so I went there and I finished all my coursework and I got a full scholarship and a fellowship, and I worked in the lab and I did stress testing on people. We used to test all the Chicago policemen and firefighters and stuff. And I finished my coursework. I hadn't written my thesis when I got the job offer from Springfield Ballet, and so I do not have a master's degree because I didn't write my thesis, but I do have my dream job instead.
Your dream job with the ballet?
Yes.
Yeah, so what brought you back to ballet? I mean, what made you decide to do
that? Well, I was always dancing, and I was always taking class, and it's what I wanted to do with my life, and it was what my bachelor's degree was in, and I was just kind of biding my time in Chicago taking classes, trying to dance, but when the position of ballet mistress opened in Springfield and Grace Nanavati hired me to, you know, come back, I could be near my parents and I could work with these exceptional young people and I could teach ballet, and it's what I wanted to do. So I got very lucky because jobs in dance are few and far between. So I got lucky, it was the right time, and it all worked out for me.
So what is ballet masters?
A ballet mistress is like the assistant to the director, and if it's a woman, it's called a ballet mistress, and if it's a man, it's called a ballet master. It's just a title.
And compared with the artistic director, which you now are,
yes.
How do the various roles differ?
Well, the artistic director is responsible for the vision of the company, you know, long-range planning, deciding what the company is going to be in 5 years, also what ballets we're going to do, hiring the guest artists, setting the choreography. And the ballet mistress doesn't have that responsibility. Their responsibility is really in the training of the company and then kind of cleaning up rehearsals. They do some choreography, but they mostly assist what the artistic director is doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you're still very much hands-on with all that.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, of course, I choreograph the ballets. And my ballet mistress helps, too. So, you know, we split things up. Like in the Nutcracker, she choreographed the bonbons and the Arabian and the angels. And then I do, you know, the other stuff. I try not to just, you know, pass off on her what I don't want to do. We try to split it up so that, you know, she gets to do some interesting things. I was lucky when I was the ballet mistress because Grace had a plan to retire in 5 years. So she groomed me from the time I started to take over for her.
As the artistic director.
Yeah.
What is the range of ages of dancers in the program, in the company?
Well, in the company, you have to be 13. So we have open auditions for dancers 13 years old and up in the spring of every year. And so all the dancers in the company are 13 years old or older. However, we have a training program for 10 to 13-year-olds. And then in the Nutcracker, we have open auditions for kids 8 years old and up. So in the Nutcracker, there are some younger kids that aren't actually in the company. You know, they're dancing at local studios. We have 120 people in the cast, 75 extra kids, plus the 30 company members, and then some adult theater actors.
So what's the upper age of the company?
The upper age of the company is upper 20s at this point.
So, and are these folks who have been through the program and stuck around, or a lot who have just come to work with the company specifically?
Both. I mean, we have some dancers who are, you know, who are in college, We have some that have gone to college and come back to dance with us. We have Gina, who's a ballet mistress who grew up dancing here and is now working for the company. So we have a broad range. Most of the dancers in the company are high school kids.
And therefore in the production of the Nutcracker as well.
Correct. Well, yeah.
How about the lead dancers for that performance?
Well, interestingly, the lead dancers, we are bringing back two girls who used to be Springfield Ballet Company members and are now dancing professionally in ballet companies. Erica Wesselman, who's going to be the Snow Queen, is dancing with Carolina Ballet Theater. And then Elizabeth Chapman, who's going to do the Sugar Plum Fairy, is with Georgia Ballet. And they were both my students, and they were both in the Springfield Ballet Company all through high school. And now they're professional ballerinas, so we're bringing them back for our 35th anniversary production to perform, which is kind of neat. And then we have a couple of guys, a guy named Shane Omer, who used to be with Pacific Northwest Ballet and Le Grand Ballet Canadien, and he's a New York dancer now. He's coming to do the Nutcracker Prince. And Sam Chester from Carolina Ballet, who's been here a lot as a guest artist, is going to be the Cavalier and Snow King. And Todd Keach from Chicago is going to be Arabian. I've got two guest guys from Millikan University. I got to teach at Millikan for 8 weeks this year when their ballet teacher was on maternity leave, and so I got to recruit a couple of guys from Millikan to come dance with us. That's kind of neat.
So except for those Millikan, the males are imports, essentially.
Imports, yes.
They haven't had experience with Springfield Ballet except as guests.
Except as guest artists, correct.
Do you do... Is there an orchestra, a live orchestra with
there
you?
There is not. We had the Illinois Symphony Orchestra for quite a few years, and we used to get a grant for that, and as I'm sure you know, grants for arts organizations have all but gone away, and we just cannot afford to hire the symphony for the Nutcracker as much as we would like to.
That's an expensive proposition.
It's very expensive. Yeah, it's about $25,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big add-on.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask, what is the production cost overall?
The production cost overall, about $60,000.
Yeah. That's a big show. But
it's
you,
a big...
You
Are
have
you there?
A, yeah.
Yeah.
We have, but you have a good audience, I imagine.
We have a great audience. You know, it can always be bigger. That house at Sangamon Auditorium holds 2,000 people.
That's a huge
hole. So there's always room for more. We don't have to worry about selling out the Nutcracker, but we would like to see bigger crowds. I mean, I realize it's an expensive ticket, and when you have a family to try to bring everybody to that, it costs a lot of money, but it's a great show, and it's well worth the price when you think about the extravagance of the sets and costumes and all the work that went into it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the visual aspect. What are people going to, some highlights of what people might be hit with if they haven't seen it before visually?
Visually, it's a beautiful production. Our scenery we bought from Ballet Met in Columbus, Ohio, and it is gorgeous. So when the curtain goes up, even during the overture, people have this beautiful show portal to look at. It's got a big nut with a nutcracker on one side and the Mouse King on the other and snowflakes around the side, and it's all gold and it's very beautiful and ornate. And the overture for Nutcracker, you know, is like 2.5 minutes long, so it gives the audience something to look at. And I think as soon as the curtain goes up, it makes your jaw drop. We've got snow and stars outside the window and a beautiful interior of the house that has a lot of depth, the Christmas tree that grows, and then it transitions into the snow scene, which, you know, it actually snows in the snow scene. And then Act Two, The Land of the Sweets, the architecture to me looks very Byzantine. It's really beautiful with kind of some, I don't know, almost like Moorish arches. So it doesn't depict one country necessarily, though it may look Russian. I think it was designed to look like Russia. But the color and the sets and the costumes are all made to go together. And when you look at them up close, you think, those are way too many colors to have in one costume, but from far away, they're just spectacular.
Now, you don't see all the individual colors. You see the cumulative effect of it.
Right, yeah.
And this is the 35th annual production of this by Springfield Ballet.
It is, yeah. We started in 1975 was the first Nutcracker by the Springfield Ballet Company. Ballet's been in Springfield since the 50s. We had a ballet concert group and Copper Coin Ballet. And those two groups merged in 1975 to form Springfield Ballet Company. And the first Nutcracker, I was a soldier in that very first production at Springfield High School, And the only scenery I think we had was a tree. And my costume was a leotard and tights and a sash. So we've come quite a long way in that amount of time. But it's remarkable, really, in a town the size of Springfield, that we've been able to maintain such fantastic arts, the symphony and the ballet and the Muni and the theater center, such high quality. It's really something that I think the community should support.
For somebody who's been at the production, who's seen your production before, are they likely to see anything new this year?
There's always something new. Nutcracker's story is, you know, we've been basically doing it the same way for a very long time. But every year we have some new costumes, we have some new set pieces. This year we have some new magic tricks for Drosselmeyer to do. Our cannon is going to actually fire this year. We had some problems with a lot of legal, you know, brouhaha over whether you can have an explosion or smoke on stage, which kind of is not good for a production like Nutcracker, where you want smoke and magic. But and then everybody, the cast is always different, so we adapt the choreography for the dancers, and you know, we try to emphasize what they do well. So one of our phenomenal dancers is Sarah Jenin, who's dancing the Spanish variation, and the choreography is just looks exquisite on her. It's perfect for her. So I think people will be surprised. They may not come away saying, oh, you know, the Sugar Plum Fairy was my favorite part. They may say, oh, I really liked, you know, the Chinese variation or something. The Chinese variation has a dragon that's actually from Hong Kong, one of those dancing dragons. And we've got seven boys that dance with the dragon. So there's always a surprise around every corner. It's a spectacular show. It's a good length, you know, it's under 2 hours with intermission. It moves boom, boom, boom from one scene to the next. The music is all recognizable. So I think you would have to be quite the Scrooge to not enjoy the Nutcracker.
Well, this is the time for Scrooge as well, but of course he comes around, doesn't he, in the end?
He does come around, yes. That's the moral.
Talk to me a little bit about your Dance in Illinois program.
Our Dance in Illinois program is a program that we are now going to offer to fourth and fifth graders. In previous years, we've done it for just fourth graders. And it's an educational program where we bus in kids from 12 counties to Sangamon Auditorium to see a lecture demonstration kind of history of dance. So we start with Louis XIV, and we talk about ballet, and then we talk about the emergence of American dance and tap and modern dance and jazz. And we have some video that we show, you know, hopefully to keep them interested, and a little bit of Michael Jackson thrown in there at the end. So we give them a history, and then we also show them behind the scenes what it takes to make a production happen at Sangamon Auditorium. So we show them how the lights work, how the drops fly in and out. I wear a headset, and I stand on the stage, and I call all the cues so they can see me talking to the lighting technician and the sound technician and the people on the rail, and giving them commands, and then they see those things actually happen. So it gives them a behind-the-scenes look at what a professional production looks like out there.
And do they do any movement themselves?
Well, a little bit. I mean, we get them up and we teach them, you know, like the basic ballet positions, and all the boys groan about that. But then I like to bring some boys up on stage and show them a little bit of partnering. So I always ask for, you know, who's the strongest boy in your class? And everybody will point to one boy, you know. So we'll bring some boys up and we'll show them how it's difficult to be a male dancer and how you have to support the girls and make them look beautiful. But they're not wimpy guys. To be able to lift a girl and balance her is a great athletic ability that I don't think very many young men appreciate.
So when the boys that have that experience and then the boys who see those guys have that experience,
right,
what's their reaction afterwards?
Exactly.
That's a question
for
you.
Oh, that's a question for me?
Yeah, what is their reaction
afterwards? Their reaction afterwards is first I think they're embarrassed that they've been up on stage in front of their friends and teachers. But I hope that they would go away and think about, that's not as easy as it looks. You know, and if they see a male dancer, hopefully they would say, you know, I couldn't do that, but I can play football.
And then you bring out some some actual male dancers for
these
demonstrations.
Yeah, we do this great scene with a male dancer, and we have clips of like football players, you know, juxtaposed with dancers, you know, soaring through the air gracefully or maybe not so gracefully, and you know, people have some sexual stereotypes about male dancers, and but then we show that the male dancers are the ones that are kissing the girls on stage, and the football players are the ones that are, you know, slapping each other on the butt on the field. So, you know, which one would you rather do?
Yeah,
that
right.
kind of thing. And it's all very humorous, and it makes the kids laugh.
Good, and I'm sure that's a good part of it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and wish you the best of luck on the performances this weekend.
Thank you.
Three of them, Saturday at 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock, University of Illinois Sangamon Auditorium. What does one have to do to get tickets?
You just need to call 206-6160.
206-6160, and that's in the 217 area.
It is, 217. Or you can go to the Sangamon Auditorium website or SpringfieldBalletCo.org, and we can link you there.
Yeah, I did find a link. The link to the web address to Sangamon is longer than your address, so we'll just give them that again, SpringfieldBalletCo.org.
That's it, and you'll see some beautiful pictures from past productions and lots of information about the ballet company there, and I hope that everyone makes this part of their holiday tradition.